Well, with marijuana now legal in Oregon, what's the next step? While the state prepares the way for retail sales to begin, a lot of other details have to be settled. For example, what happens to people who were charged and convicted for marijuana crimes when marijuana is no longer illegal? Joining us this morning to discuss this issue is Phil Studenberg, a Klamath Falls criminal defense attorney, and Aaron Brown, an advocate for the Bus Project. Good morning, Phil and Aaron.
Good morning.
Well, let me ask you, I'd like to start off with either one of you, probably Phil in this case. Voters approved Measure 91 last year, and it just went into effect on July 1st. Can we get a brief overview of what Measure 91 means? Hello, Phil? Let's see if we can get him right here. Trying to get Phil on the line right now. Hello, Phil.
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Just asking about Measure 91.
Right. I was able to hear on my end. So, Measure 91 is a pretty radical change. It has certainly put Oregon, I think, on the cutting edge of what appears to be a revolution in the country in terms of legalizing marijuana. It has made recreational use of marijuana legal within certain limits. It has expanded the medical marijuana situation, and also it has reduced at least the three bills that the governor signed on Friday will reduce the penalties for marijuana to the point where they're not going to be felonies anymore unless it's a delivery to a minor. And there's also these provisions to clean up people's past history and allow them to expunge their convictions, which I think is a huge thing that Oregon has done that some of the other states have not yet done. So I think overall it's going to have a major impact in the country. We have become the leader, I think, in this movement.
Does this specifically go to House Bill 3400 and Senate Bill 844?
Right. Those are the ones that the governor signed on Friday. And really what happened is the legislature decided to take Measure 91 and tinker with it a little, which some people are kind of offended by when you have an initiative that's passed by the people. There are those advocates who say they shouldn't be fooling around with it, that basically the will of the people has been expressed. But the leader of the legislature didn't seem to have any problem with thinking that it's okay to tinker with this thing as long as it still expresses the overall intent of the people. So these bills were all efforts made by the legislature to try to fine-tune Measure 91.
How many people does this affect in the state of Oregon? Do we have quite a few people who are serving time presently for a marijuana-only conviction?
I think it does affect quite a few. I don't have exact figures. I know just anecdotally I've got some people that are still that did go to prison on probation revocations back when it would still carry a prison sentence, when it was a level 8 on the sentencing guidelines, and then they subsequently got revoked for whatever reason on their probations. And this bill will affect those people. I imagine they'll be getting out fairly quickly. I can't speak to the exact number of people involved, but there are people who certainly have got, there's a lot of people with felony convictions. I don't know that there's a lot of people actually serving time in prison on the charge.
This is Aaron with the Bus Project. I can speak a little bit to that.
Yes, please.
The numbers that we've been able to dig up, and I mean, it's all approximate, but we currently believe that there are 200 Oregonians that are currently incarcerated for nonviolent, obsolete, petty marijuana charges. And we know, based on the work that ACLU did when they were working with the Yes on 91 campaign back in 2013 and 14, that over the last decade, so roughly between like 2002 to 2012, there was 110,000 citations and arrests for marijuana here in Oregon. And obviously those numbers aren't, you know, that's one-on-one. I mean, many people no longer live in the state, et cetera. But I think it speaks to the profound broadness of the number of people across the state whose lives have been profoundly impacted by this war on drugs and this type of legislation.
Aaron, could you give us an overview of the Bus Project?
Sure. The Bus Project is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization focused on getting young people more involved and engaged in local and statewide politics all over Oregon. So we do a lot of programs to help train the next generation of leaders is kind of our tagline.
Phil, I was wondering for people who either are currently serving or have served their time and want their record expunged, what is the process that they have to go through on their end?
You have to go to pay the sheriff to get to your fingerprints, and then you file a petition with the court of conviction. And the DA will then have an option to either say they object or don't object to expungement. And if they don't object, then we present an order sealing the record so that and then we send that order to the state police and to the other police agencies, directing them to seal the record so that they will no longer show up as a conviction on somebody's record. Normally it's 3 years after the first conviction, and that's what the new laws, I think, are allowing now. So 3 years after the conviction, you can go ask to have your record cleaned up, have it expunged, as long as there's only one conviction. And the process is you file either. You can do it yourself. Most DA's offices have a petition form, or you can have an attorney do it for you. You submit your fingerprints and a petition for expungement, and then the DA gets to say yes or no as far as whether they agree, and then the judge signs the order.
I would imagine there are some people who may be under the impression that with the passage of Measure 91 that suddenly everything is legal regarding marijuana in the state
right.
of Oregon. But that's not correct, is it?
No. We're having a little problem with people's expectations and the assumptions that they're making regarding the new laws, I think, yes.
What are some of the things that are still illegal under the law?
Well, certainly delivery to a minor, and I think manufacture, possession, or delivery within 1,000 feet of a school is still an issue. Other than that, it looks to me like everything has kind of been reduced to an A misdemeanor if you're in excess of the levels allowed by Measure 91, which is the 4 plants or the 8 ounces. And then
go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, go ahead. That's fine.
Well, I was just going to say, well, it remains illegal to smoke in public, and it remains illegal
right.
to operate an automobile under the influence of marijuana. I mean, this law, you know, has had a lot of really great opportunities in terms of allowing the state of Oregon to regulate and legalize marijuana and tax it. But a lot of the sort of, I mean, Measure 91 did not allow everyone to stockpile huge amounts of marijuana and smoke them in public. I mean, the bill is... You know, the substance is still a controlled substance, and
right. And the DUI laws were not changed at all. Yeah, it's still a crime to be driving under the influence of marijuana. We don't have there's some discussion now about whether they're going to set a certain limit as far as THC, which I hope that they don't do, because I don't think that's a very fair way to judge whether somebody's under the influence. But yeah, those laws did not change.
That's another question I was going to ask. How would police officers be able to measure it? You know, we have a breathalyzer, obviously, for alcohol.
Right. We have the 08 standard for alcohol, and they're trying to come up with something equivalent for THC, but I don't think that they can, at least from the studies that I've read. That's not a very good measurement. The way they do it, the way they've been doing it, is they arrest somebody who's driving as poor. They put them through the field sobriety tests. If they think that they are impaired, then they go have them blow in the intoxilizer. If they blow a 0.0 for alcohol, then they put them through what's called a drug recognition exam. And then they can take blood or urine as well to see if there's THC in their system. So they've been doing that for years. They've been pursuing DUIs involving marijuana without the benefit of Measure 91. And they're trying to improve the science of impairment by marijuana, but it's not easy to do. And some states have passed an 0.5 milligrams standard as a per se intoxication by marijuana, and I just think that scientifically isn't accurate. It's not fair to drivers.
We have Steve on the line from Eugene. Go ahead, Steve.
Howdy. Back in 1966, I was caught up in the original marijuana witch hunt in the city of Portland, and they caught me in Eugene, and I was in possession, so I now have a sales and a possession charge on my record that you know, and since then, in terms of felonies and such, I've been, you know, clean. I'd like to get these off my record, but in that I have to, is that going to present a problem in that the state is doing exactly what I was charged with? Is that going to cut me some slack? What do I have to do?
Phil?
Hello?
Hello. We're just we're trying to get Phil back on the line here. Well, I don't know. Aaron, are you still there with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Can you address that? Excuse me. Can you address that question?
Yeah, sure. I can. I'll first say that Phil is obviously the expert as it comes to sort of criminal justice and some of the specific. What are the steps to take to expunge the records? But as Phil was alluding to earlier, House Bill 3400 and Senate Bill 844, which both passed with bipartisan votes, we had Democrats and Republicans voting on in support with large numbers for each of these measures. Or each of these bills, numerous Class C and Class B felonies have been reclassified as Class A misdemeanors, or rather the Class B have gone down to Class C felonies and the Class C felonies have gone down to Class A misdemeanors. And those penalties dropped substantially. I mean, a Class C felony for unlawful delivery used to be up to 5 years in jail and a $125,000 fine. Now that's only 1 year in jail and a $6,000 fine. So to your case in particular, once all of those misdemeanors, and so that's pretty much all but the most egregious of marijuana charges, have a 3-year waiting period for expungement. And of course that depends on, you know, good behavior and not having other things on your record as well. But at this point, any Oregonian that had a Class A misdemeanor only has to wait 3 years to have it completely expunged from the record, at which point that people, you know, can apply for jobs and housing and education and things and say that they don't have that on their record.
And I believe we have Phil back on the line now.
Yep, I'm back on. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened.
Can you address that as well, Steve's question about his conviction and wanting it cleared?
I didn't hear the question, but I think what Aaron said is accurate. Oh, I know it is. It's 3 years from the date of conviction. You can have it expunged as long as you don't have another conviction on your record.
If you do have a second conviction, does that mean it's impossible?
It goes to 10 years then.
I see, at that point in time. I have a couple questions about the criminal justice system. With changes that are happening right now, how is that going to impact? Do we have enough attorneys? Do we have enough bed space? Does that mean we'll start seeing longer sentencing for people who are convicted of other crimes, more serious crimes? Has anybody taken a look at what may potentially happen with that?
I don't know that there'd be any reason to increase the penalties. I personally believe we have way too many people incarcerated in general in our country and in this state, but I don't think there's going to be an increase in other penalties. I think from an economic standpoint, they're talking about getting rid of mandatory minimums. I'm a big supporter of that effort, so I don't think there's going to be an increase in prosecutions or in bed space. I think, if anything, it maybe will free up some money for police to do their job.
I can speak to that a little bit, yeah. Okay. When House Bill 3372, which was proposed by Representative Lou Frederick, that was sort of the initial opening salvo on kind of the bringing up the conversation of expungement. There had been some concern from both law enforcement officials and from folks in the courts that the legislation would have a really strong impact on many more people going through the court system. I'm under the impression, again, I'm not a legal scholar, but I'm under the impression that a lot of these issues got resolved in terms of finding the resources to enable that to happen in Salem this year.
If you'd like to join us on The Exchange this morning, we're talking about Measure 91 and its implementation. You can call us at 800-838-3760 or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. Did Colorado release prisoners under its system?
As far as I understand it, the work that happened here in Oregon with the Fresh Start Oregon campaign between House Bills 3400 and 844 are unique, both Washington and Colorado. As much research as I've been able to do, neither of them have taken the expungement stuff to the extent that we have. And
Right.
I mean, it's obvious, it's fun to focus specifically on, you know, the incarceration stuff, but it's also worth remembering that there are, you know, thousands and maybe tens or maybe even hundreds of thousands of Oregonians that have these records. I mean, it's been very difficult to get these full numbers on them, but when you've got that record on, you know, when you've got that record, you are unable to necessarily, it's hard enough here in Portland as a young person to try and get housing, to try and get a job, to try and fund your education. And the fact is, when you have that record on, you're unable to, you're often discriminated against. And we, as the Bus Project, really have been pushing on it after, you know, we were large supporters of Measure 91. We did a lot of voter registration and getting out the vote for it. But I think that the really thing to keep in mind is it's not just talking about people that are currently incarcerated, but that, you know, countless Oregonians are now going to have an easier time kind of rebuilding their lives and getting back on track because of these two bills.
I agree. I think that's the worst impact more than incarceration is, and I see a lot of these college students who have huge potential. I think it's an incredible waste of human potential. These young people who lose their, for a while they were losing their federal benefits. They, you know, they're on a career path. Very bright young people that, for whatever reason, decided to get involved in the marijuana as kind of a lark, and it just destroyed their whole lives. And I think we've lost the human potential that we've lost is huge.
And it's also worth pointing out, too, that ACLU found that black Oregonians were over two times more likely to be arrested for the same substance as white Oregonians, and it's three times as likely in Lane and Multnomah counties over the past couple of years. So despite ample evidence that suggests that all Oregonians are using marijuana at roughly the same rate even before it was legalized. So I think it's important to keep this in mind, too, that there are a lot of profound implications from a social justice perspective about how our current incarceration status and our previous laws on marijuana and other and drugs were having disproportionate impact on folks. So we are really excited to see these two bills go through.
Despite signing the legislation, what kind of hurdles remain for people who are either incarcerated or out and want to expunge their record?
Well, they still got to take some action to get them expunged. So they have to do something affirmative. They got to be made aware that they're now eligible, and they have to do it, and that's going to be part of an education process. But other than that, I think it's a matter of there is a significant cost. I think you have to pay $150 to the court. You got to pay the sheriff for fingerprints. So there's some. It's not great, but there is some cost. And somebody has to be aware that they have the right to do it so they can take the action to get it expunged.
For someone who's been incarcerated for multiple charges, you know, maybe they committed a burglary or a robbery or something, and there was also a marijuana conviction involved in there as well, will we see that charge be dropped? I mean, they would still have to serve time for their other convictions. Is that part of the mix as well?
Well, it's been reduced. The penalty has been reduced, so I don't know that they would be dropped, but certainly there could be a process for resentencing or amending a sentence order as far as it relates to the marijuana charge, so that it's now what was an A felony or a B felony is now perhaps an A misdemeanor or a C felony, and that could certainly make a difference in terms of the penalty imposed on a resentencing or an amendment of the sentence order.
It's definitely the strongest of the expungement provisions that these two bills pass definitely are predicated on individuals that have otherwise squeaky clean records. So
right.
I will definitely say that, you know, regardless of what happens with these bills in particular, you know, or with your previous convictions as it relates to obsolete marijuana charges, that they are definitely going to be harder to get off your record if they are related to other crimes.
I have a question that's slightly off topic, perhaps, but how good is Oregon at treating people who get out of prison or have had, you know, drug convictions and perhaps didn't go to prison and are looking for treatment options? Does Oregon do a very good job?
I think there's a lot of good treatment people out there, and there's a lot of good treatment options. I know at least in Klamath County, the Corrections Department makes a real effort to reintegrate people into the community when they come out. They've got a transition program that involves drug and alcohol treatment, vocational aspects, thinking errors, socialization skills. That's all part of the process of people coming out of prison. So my perspective, at least from here in Klamath County, is I think they do a real good job of trying to stop the recidivism cycle. And, but there are, you know, there are limits. Yeah, that felony conviction is a real problem.
And I'll give a shout-out to the 2015 legislative session this year in that legislation about passing the Ban the Box initiative has passed.
Uh-huh.
Big ups to our pals with the Urban League of Portland and a couple other groups that have been working on that for years and years and years. And that means that employers can no longer ask about your previous records on some particular jobs and things when you're applying for them, when you're applying for employment. So when we're trying to figure out how to reduce recidivism, I think we need to be looking at the root causes, which is that, you know, for many folks, when they, you know, have these records, it's so hard already. We're finding folks that are, you know, many times trying to get their lives back in order, but we have all these institutional barriers and structures that are preventing them from getting that new job or being able to afford or move into that new house or have safer custody of their kids, whatever it may be. You know, this bill, along with some of the other ones, are hopefully removing some of the barriers that will allow folks without those barriers to move forward and just get on with their lives.
We have time for one quick question. Mike in Medford.
Hey, okay, so I've listened to the show. I personally do not partake in any of this, in any marijuana, due to my job and also personal beliefs. But at the same time, people who have been convicted for driving under the influence or under the influence of marijuana, how is it, are those going to be reduced or anything like that? Because quite frankly, I mean, if you're driving, you're driving. I mean, are infractions like that going to happen? Or
time.
I mean, reductions stuff like that going to happen? Or is it only just you got caught with possession while you're walking down the street?
Phil, we have time for just a quick answer on that.
As I know it, no. None of this expungement stuff covers driving under the influence, and I absolutely agree that we need to have actually stronger laws about discouraging driving under the influence with anything.
Joining us this morning, we've had Phil Studenberg, who is a Klamath Falls criminal defense attorney, and we've also had with us this morning Aaron Brown, an advocate for the Bus Project. Gentlemen, thank you for being on the Jefferson Exchange this morning.
It was my pleasure.